Welcome to Design Downtime, the podcast where we celebrate the joys of living a balanced creative life. I'm your host, Guy Siegel, a design director in Toronto, Canada, and I invite you to join me on this journey as we redefine what it means to be a successful design professional. Let's break free from the shackles of hustle culture and embrace the full spectrum of human experience, because life is too precious to be spent only in pursuit of productivity. Today, I'm excited to be talking with Justin Goddard. Justin is a design leader with extensive experience in cultivating collaborative, innovative, and user-centered design cultures within major tech organizations. Currently leading a team at Cisco, he is deeply committed to enhancing the workplace experience, ensuring that all employees have the opportunity to perform at their best by minimizing unnecessary complexities in their tasks. His team of product designers, visual designers, and UX engineers creates an ecosystem where Cisco employees can excel while supporting the company's vision for pioneering hybrid workplace solutions. Before his current role, Justin's journey through the tech industry was marked by positions at Verisent, IBM, and Firmex, in addition to design positions in the cosmetics and automotive industries. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
And today you want to talk to us about riding a bike.
Absolutely. I love riding a bike. And thank you very much for having me here to tell a little bit about how much I enjoy riding a bike. And I think why I enjoy riding a bike started, you know, when I was a young kid growing up in the suburbs of Toronto in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, like many of us, you spent time riding bikes with your friends around the neighborhood, finding local trails, so on and so forth. But I think my fascination around cycling was stemmed from my father, who was a triathlete in the early 90s. And so cycling to me was not necessarily just about pleasure, but it was also about performance. And so bikes were around me every single day in the basement. Basement was full of bikes. Worked in a couple bike shops in my teens. And, you know, after I went to school, I stopped riding a bike and only picked it up again when I moved back to Toronto and started commuting back into the city. Now, you know, in 2024, I love cycling as a means for me to step away, as you said, from the grind and the hustle. I love exploring the city. I think, you know, we're both from Toronto, and some of the things that I really value is finding those moments where it doesn't feel like Toronto. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but going down to Leslie Spit or going in the Don Valley and just saying, wow, this is pretty cool. I didn't know Toronto had so much to offer. And so a lot of it is just around exploring, you know, meeting friends, challenging yourself also to not necessarily default to taking a car or public transit. I think there's just an incredible amount of freedom with riding a bike around the city. And you know, one thing I have a special connection with cycling with my daughter. She's 8 years old. During the pandemic, when she was four, many places were shut down, like an arena across the street. So that gave us an incredible opportunity to learn how to ride a bike in an empty parking lot, which is, you know, not many parents have that opportunity. So fast forward to age eight, we ride about twice a week. We explore up and down our local trail. And that's really important to me to have that bond with her the same way that I had that bond with my father.
So let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about those first days of learning how to ride a bike.
So I don't remember the act of riding a bike. However, I do remember my childhood bike, which was this red bike with yellow grips. And it had these kind of it's a red BMX bike with yellow grips, this kind of yellow padding that ran around the frame, which was very in at that time. And I remember I had yellow tires on that bike as well, which was like really, really unique. And I give it to my father, who had to get a replacement tire for the back wheel because I would just do skids all day around the neighborhood kind of thing. So that back tire was bald. And then, you know, when it came time to change that tire on that wheel, my father did his best to find something that was yellow. That really resonated, you know what I mean? That parents would go out of their way to satisfy their kids', you know, interests and happiness, right? So I don't remember so much the act of getting up and falling down and that kind of thing, but I do remember the bike itself that I grew up for a large part of my youth.
When would you ride that bike? Was it something that you, similarly to how you ride with your daughter, did you ride with your dad?
I would have definitely done bike rides with my father after school. now, and independently too. I think times were obviously different in the 80s, so I would do a lot more exploring independently than I probably would allow my daughter to do now. But it was mostly like an after, you know, summertime, after dinner ritual to go out on the bike and, you know, go around the local lake and that kind of thing. Now it's pretty much the same thing. You know, if I could see that, you know, my daughter wants to get outside and I want to get outside, I want to get that change of scenery, we will go out and just kind of do a couple kilometers in our backyard, which is where the big trail is.
So as you were growing older, you become a teenager, and, you know, a big thing for a lot of teenagers is learning how to drive and getting a car. How does that factor into your own life?
Oof. In the suburbs, it was almost, I had to have a car, I guess. It was one of the things that, as much as the system wasn't as developed for me to ride a bike probably safely as well as it could be now with dedicated bike lanes. I think, you know, I needed a car to get around in the suburbs. A bike provided independence, of course, if I needed to go to work and do all these other things. But learning to drive was kind of just something I had to do, given the context by which I was living in. If I think about myself now as a parent, and, you know, I fast forward with my daughter's life, I don't know if that's necessarily that big of a thing for her. I mean, we're fortunate to live in the city in Toronto, and there's other places for her to be able to, there's other means for transportation. And I think cycling is a great one for that. So I think there's a skill set required to learn how to drive a car, but I don't necessarily know if it's going to be something that is as essential as it was as I was growing up.
At that time, you enjoyed the freedom of riding a bike and being able to get to places that, you know, cars might not be able to get to. Was cycling still your preferred mode of transportation?
Cycling was the preferred mode of transportation if I had to go to work, and I would go hang out with my workmates after we finished, and we'd go cycling into the ravines and go mountain biking there. It was definitely, you know, it's one of those things, looking back as an adult, it would have definitely been my preferred method of transportation. As a teenager, I probably didn't have a choice, right? It was kind of like, I have a bike, just go ride it kind of thing. And so I didn't necessarily think too deeply about it then.
So did riding a bike also inform the communities you were part of, the groups of friends that you were hanging out with?
Absolutely. A large part of my teenage years was spent working in a couple bike stores, and, you know, cycling culture plays a role in that the same way that it does now as an adult, right? You know, whether it's the fashion that you wear or the individuals that you hang out with that have like-minded interests in cycling. Growing up, however, though, yeah, I mean, I was fortunate to work in some bike shops, had friends who were into different types of bikes, and it was a great opportunity for me to find some common interests with individuals that I not only worked with, but that had that interest in the sport the same way that I did. I was really grateful for that.
So did you go to work at bike shops because you were into bikes, or was it just happenstance?
Yeah, no, it was definitely one of the things that I was fascinated by the idea of, you know, obviously making money as a kid and having a job to pay for said bikes and upgrades and so on and so forth. But yeah, cycling culture was a big thing for me. As I said, I grew up with bikes in our basement with my father doing triathlons. So I didn't think it was too far of a stretch for me to be able to work in a store. And, you know, I was born with office hands, so I wasn't necessarily in the back as a mechanic, but over time I've grown to learn how to fix my bike and so on and so forth. So it was a good opportunity for me at that time to understand how to work with people. It was sales roles that I was normally in. So when people were coming in and I need a bike, and you're kind of dissecting that problem, okay, well, what kind of bike do you need and how often are you going to ride it and what is your budget? And so it gave me some really interesting exposure to people and soft skills that I was fortunate to have with that role.
You mentioned in the beginning that after college or at some point you kind of stopped cycling.
Yeah, it was weird because I went overseas to school. I spent a lot of time walking. I didn't have access to a car, and looking back, I didn't think I missed cycling at all. It was just something like it was a phase, and it supported me both financially and in terms of athletics. And so when I came back, I felt like I was caught in a a routine where I was either dependent on a car or dependent on public transportation. It just didn't occur to me that I could get back into cycling. I had a bike still, but it wasn't necessarily part of my everyday. And my wife and I moved to Toronto, and I was commuting into Queen and Spadina area. And there was just a light bulb moment. I still remember it. It's like, why am I not riding my bike to work? And, you know, what, I don't know whether or not I was fearful of riding in the city. Again, I grew up in the suburbs, right? It's a little bit different than it is cycling into the city. And I thought I'd try it out. And then it kind of just, that flame reignited. And I, looking back, I'm so happy it did.
Tell me about those first times of riding into downtown with your bike. How did that feel?
I remember falling a couple times on the tracks. In Toronto, we have streetcars. So if you don't pay attention to the streetcar tracks, you might get caught. And there was a couple times when it was raining and I had slipped and fallen. And I was like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. This is too scary. You know, but I think there's a sense of resilience that was brought to that, too, because the joy of cycling to work and coming home cycling outweighed in many ways the potential risks of it as well. And so I think over time, my nervousness, and I'm still nervous cycling in the city, but you know, over time, my nervousness went down because I became more confident. I understand kind of the rules of the road. I understood what to look out for in drivers and in cyclists and pedestrians. But I do remember the first couple times coming in it being a little hairy, especially when there's a couple, you fall down a couple of times as well.
Is there a difference in mindsets between someone who cycles downtown to work versus someone who uses public transit or someone who, you know, drives in from the suburbs?
It would be unfair for me to probably categorize that mindset with each individual. I think for instance, there's pros and cons in every method of transportation. I really enjoy taking the subway and listening to podcasts when I would go to work in a job that I had where I was not able to commute into the city. But at the same time, I love the spontaneity of riding a bike and going down a different road or being cut off with construction and trying to embrace the fact that my route could change every day and I wasn't necessarily stuck to a specific line. Now, that as a resident of Toronto, our lines do change all the time and our methods of transportation are not always linear. But I think for the most part, you accept it a little bit more positively when you're on your bike. You know, I think all three methods of transportation are faced with traffic. And, you know, I think for sometimes that's actually a good thing and sometimes it's not, right? It's, as I said, I don't typically ride with music in my ears. So when I was commuting into the office, I wasn't riding with music or with a podcast. So you just have to find different ways to catch up on the things that are important to you in terms of media. But that's probably how I think about the three differences.
So that's a really good point because I use public transit to commute to work. I know a lot of people who drive in, and that allows you, again, that freedom of listening to podcasts or catching up on music or doing things that are not directly tied to your mode of transportation. Whereas, as you mentioned, when you're riding a bike, there's a lot to keep in mind in terms of being aware of your surroundings. How does that impact your mental state when you get to work?
You know, I think one of the things that personally, I think I would definitely be more alert coming into work. If I look back, cycling into work and commuting into work, I was on the moment that I had to get on my bike. Whereas, you know, if you're taking the TTC, you're putting trust in obviously a driver in the subway or the streetcar to take you from point A to point B. So you can kind of just relax a little bit more and maybe zone out. Yeah, I mean, I probably think my mental state coming into work would be much more awake. I'd be much more alert. You know, at the same time, though, too, I mean, it's not saying that it's all positive. You may have been cut off. You may have had a close encounter and potentially had an accident, and your adrenaline would be through the roof, right? So I think depending on the day and depending on what life kind of presents itself to you, you're going to have a little bit more variety in terms of emotions.
So you get back to cycling as an adult. You do it through commuting to work. Does it spread again to the rest of your life?
Yeah. So currently I don't commute to work. I'm fortunate to work in a remote first environment. I work from my office at home. So I think my relationship with cycling now is a little bit different. You know, I'm not looking at it as something I have to do to get to work or I want to do to get to work. Now my relationship is something I want to do after work to get away, something I want to do with my daughter, something I want to do to get away for the weekend. One of the things that many cyclists have been exposed to is overnight, you know, cycling, so bikepacking or touring. That's, you know, and in Southern Ontario, there's so much opportunity for you to go and take a train to destination, go off for a 2-day event and go camping, right, on your bike. And that, you know, to me, that's kind of now where I'm looking at. That's more around my relationship with cycling. As I said earlier, I think some of the things that I enjoy doing the most is finding those opportunities or finding those places in Toronto that don't feel like Toronto. And whether that's to go make a coffee somewhere or it's just to find a new trail that looks a little bit beaten up. My relationship now is less so about the notion of commuting into work, but the act of exploring and, you know, having more intent about getting out after work and being a little bit more active.
So let's talk more about this. I'm curious to know how you see the bike as a tool. I mean, you mentioned you use it to escape or to disconnect or to change scenery. There are people who use it to in a more competitive way. There are people who are using it to challenge themselves. What are different ways you see the bike come into your life?
So I do think that I'm less, I'd like to say that I think I like to find a balance of both, you know, going back to what I observed with my father and as a kid growing up. I like to find the balance of having cycling for pleasure and then also for, you know, performance or for activity, right? I'm not, you know, an individual that is doing 100 kilometers every other day or once a week, but I will challenge myself physically and mentally to do certain things if an opportunity presents itself, right? If it, you know, there's a steep hill, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to reward myself afterwards by, you know, with the recognition that I at least tried and I was able to achieve that goal. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to make it a sport that I dread or a sport that is solely based on performance. And I think I find like I'm in a really good space to find that comfort right now. And, you know, that's kind of the challenge I gave myself is like, how do I find something that is rewarding, but also challenging based on the things that I present, I can give myself when I'm out there cycling. And, you know, like, yeah, one of the I like going out alone. I mean, I think group rides are fun, and there's a social that I'll join every now and then on Wednesday nights, and it's a really nice, easy pace. But, you know, just I spend my entire day speaking to people and working with others, and sometimes you just need to carve out that space for your own sanity and your own thoughts, and that's what I want to make sure I continue to preserve by riding a bike.
I'm curious to know how it's similar and or different from the way it was in your childhood. Because in your childhood, when you're learning to ride a bike, you get a key to a kingdom of independence. You're not reliant on other people to take you from place to place. Now, as an adult, you are, you know, a master of your world. You can do whatever you want. How is bike still playing into that sense of independence or owning your life, if at all?
It's a good question. I think one of the things that, you know, I think as an adult, you can take chances, obviously a lot more than you could as a child. And one of the things I value is kind of getting lost. I mean, you know, fortunately, I get to ride with technology that'll still show me that there's a map and, you know, I can go down this way. But like, I just love that freedom, even as an adult, to say, I could go down this place, but I could also go down this road over here, or this trail, or this single track looks really interesting, or hey, this gravel road's probably leading nowhere, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. And so I think, yes, there's this freedom of transportation as a child that one might experience. And, you know, it's not, you can ride your bike to the store and buy a candy or, you know, in my case, probably play Street Fighter 2 when I was growing up in the arcade. But now it's that same freedom exists with the ability that you have the ability to take a chance and take wrong turns and accept them for what it's worth and potentially be exposed to something that you didn't even think was expected, right? And it could be a reward in itself, right? So as a child, although there was freedom, there was often a destination, right? It was, I'm cycling to my friend's house. I'm cycling to the corner store. I'm cycling to work. I'm cycling to soccer practice. And, you know, part of what I enjoy now is that, you know, the destination obviously has a little bit more, there's more adventure to the destination, right? And I think that there's something really nice about that.
So let's go back to you and your daughter. How did you start teaching her to ride a bike?
So we would go across the street. I live near an arena and there was a empty parking lot. And, you know, she'd been on training wheels for a long time. And I literally just took the training wheels off. I said, let's have fun with this. We're going to try on the grass for a while and see whether or not you fall down and you're going to get back up and everything's going to be good. And making it a really positive experience for her, recognizing that, you know, there could be some short-term pain for long-term gain. And so we would go every morning before I would start work. And I don't know, it was a fun thing that we worked on together. And ultimately, you know, she's benefited from it as a result. Last year, we went on an overnight bike packing trip, the two of us. And instead of just keeping my stuff on my bike, I had to keep my stuff and her stuff, which was a lot. And so her relationship with cycling with her father, I'd like to think is a really positive one. It's a place where we can bond, a place that it's an activity that we've learned to do together. And that's how kind of we treat it. And as we move on to the next phases of this sport and teaching her how to shift gears or, you know, how to repair a flat tire or something like that, I just think the possibilities are endless in terms of us bonding based on, you know, the ability for me to teach her how to ride a bike.
Were there things that surprised you about yourself in that process of like, oh, I did not expect to react like this?
As a parent, there's always something that I hope that I have, a special bond that I have with my child, right? And may that be a sport or a craft or something creative, whatever it is, right? And so I'm genuinely surprised that she enjoys cycling as much as she does, and that that's something that, you know, it is not a chore for her to go out. And, you know, I'm surprised that she has that mindset, but that we've also worked on it together as father and daughter to make it a really positive experience and to continue to grow that, right? So, I mean, I think I will say like snacks do play a huge role in this, obviously. So, you know, when you're going to, there's always some sort of snack or something as part of the destination, but I'm really happy that, I guess surprised that she's taking it on as much as I did with my father, kind of thing. And my father's no longer with me, and she recognized though at a very young age that we bonded over cycling as well, even as adults. And I'm really happy and surprised that she continues to enjoy the sport as much as I do.
Is there anything within cycling that you haven't tried out and you're looking to do?
I've been fortunate to ride bikes, you know, in different places that I've rent bikes and do that kind of thing on my travels. We're going to South Korea this year for vacation, and I'd love to ride a bike in the city and kind of just explore a little bit by myself and see if I can find a bike that I can rent. I think that's one thing that I'm looking forward to near term. Long term, I'd love to actually take a week off and go cycling by myself, pack my bike up, go fly in the middle of nowhere, not the middle of nowhere, but somewhere where I can plan a week-long trip and really just kind of like reset mentally and, you know, go explore a place I've never visited before.
That's amazing. Do you have any destinations in mind?
I'm fascinated by Northern UK for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm there. I'd love to do France. I think one of the things that I've wanted to do with my father was, you know, follow the tour, and may that have been done through a camper van or whatever it was. I'd love to maybe see if I could do something where I at least can see a stage of the tour go by in France. I think that could be a pretty awesome experience.
It sounds incredible. Until then, Justin, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. People can find me on Instagram. I'll use my first name and last name as a handle. I'm pretty easy to find, but those are some good places for one to find me and interact with me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is all for this episode of Design Downtime. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your downtime.